please silence your phones. I was supposed to point at somebody, but I'm not. I'm going to behave. I also want to let everybody know there are two offering boxes in the back. The one is for the regular offering, and the other is for a thing we call Helping Hands. And it's a separate account that we use to help out people who might need a hand up. And all that money always goes in that direction. And I thank you all, and we look forward to a wonderful service today.
Good morning. He is risen. He is risen, yes. Okay, so this morning I just have two quick announcements. My first quick announcement is that, just a reminder, we will be having our church elections the last Sunday of the month. So if you're going to be participating in that, we'll probably do it a little bit before and a little bit after service. And then also, there's still time to sign up for our book study that we'll be doing with the Francis Chan book study, Letters to the Church. So make sure if that's something that you want to participate in, that you sign up in the back or you see Diane so we can get your book ordered. So this morning, we are going to have our call to worship. So I'd ask that you would all stand with me as we have our call to worship. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 118. And I'm going to read to you verses 1 and 2. And then we're going to skip down to verses 14 to 24. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. That is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's worship together in song this morning. Well, good morning again. I'm glad that you could all be here with us this morning as we celebrate our risen Savior this morning. How awesome is that, right? That we get to be together and that we get to celebrate the thing that Jesus has done for us. Well, this morning we're going to be in the book of Luke, if you will turn there with me. And we're going to be in Luke chapter 24, but before we get there, we're going to back up just a little bit to get a little bit of context. And so we're going to back up to Luke 23, around verses 48 to 56, and I'm going to give you a little bit of a paraphrase of what that had to say. And so if in Luke 23, 48 to 56, it's Good Friday, and it's about noon, and the sky goes completely dark. And the sky remains completely dark for about till about 3 in the afternoon. So it's 3 hours. The sun is not shining. It's completely dark. And during this time, a lot of things start come to fruition. All of these things are happening at the same time. It's still dark. And then the curtain in the temple that separated the Holy of Holies, it tears as Jesus is crying out to the Lord and he's breathing his last breath. I was a youth pastor for several years, and I remember teaching this lesson to my teens, and we're talking about it, and I said, yeah, and you know what, the exact moment that that curtain tore and that barrier between God and us was broken, and now we had communication with God the Father. So that happened just in the moment that Jesus sacrificed himself for us. And I remember one of my teens, I won't mention her name, but one of my teens, she said, my mind is blown. She was like, my mind is blown. I can't believe that. She was like, that's so amazing that all that happened at the same time. So it's dark and this happens and Jesus, he cries out to the Lord and he breathes his last breath and all this is happening. The centurion, he looks up and he looks around, he sees all that's happened and he announces to the crowd, surely this man was innocent. right? And in the midst of this, in the midst of Jesus breathing his last breath and the curtain tearing and his innocence being announced, there were still people in the crowd that were beating their chests and almost cheering that he was gone. Because they thought that they won, right? They thought in that moment, we've silenced him. We've turned out the light. It's over now, right? They thought they had silenced him. So even in all of this, all of that's happening, all these wonderful things, his innocence is announced, there are still people that are just, they're happy that this has happened. They're cheering about it. There was a group of individuals sitting off, far off, and they're watching this. And they're the followers of Jesus, the people that loved him, the people that were broken at what had just happened, the people that had lived with him and followed him. They're witnessing this, his disciples and various followers. But among these people were some women. There's a group of women, and they are just watching, and they see this. They see what has happened to the Lord. And then as those people left, you know, the people that, you know, had been beating their chests and the people that were out in the crowd screaming, crucify him, as they left, those people remained. They stayed there, the disciples and those women. And they watched as a man named Joseph of Arimathea comes, and he comes to take the body of Jesus down from the cross and wrap it in linen. So they're seeing all this happen, right? And so they see that he's died. They see that he's been taken down, and they see that they were going to go lay him in a tomb. They're witnesses to this. And the scripture says that Joseph of Arimathea, he took the body of Jesus. He took it down from the cross. He wrapped it, and he takes it to this rock-hewn tomb. And this is significant because what would happen in those days is there would be a tomb, and this tomb wouldn't just be for one person. Typically, a tomb of this kind would have been used several times and for several people. And they would, the bones of that person would be in there, and once those were decomposed, they would remove them, and then it would be ready for someone else. So it's so important for us to know that this is a brand new tomb. Had never been used before. And this is important because there should be no confusion. Jesus would have been the only body that had ever been laid in there. So no one could say, oh, you know, they've just mistakenly taken his body and left this other body. No, there would have been no confusion because he would have been the very first person that had ever been laid in this tomb. And so again, while all this is happening, these same women, they were there. They were across from the tomb, and they're watching them carry Jesus in. These same women, they followed Jesus from Galilee. They watched from afar as he was crucified. They were witnesses to his death. They watched him be taken down from the cross. They watched him be laid in the tomb that had never been used. They didn't just hear of these things from other people. They were eyewitnesses. They were there. They saw it. They knew what had happened. So after all of these things, these women, they leave and they go to prepare oils and spices for his burial. And then the next day was the Sabbath, so they rested. So that context, that brings us to where we're going to be this morning in Luke 24, verses 1 to 12. But on the first day of the week, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified on the third day, rise again?" Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. Let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we just thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made in your Son, and that we have this opportunity to come together this morning and to celebrate and to praise you. God, we ask this morning that the words that are said would be yours and not mine, and that we would have open ears and open hearts ready and willing to hear what it is that you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Sabbath was over. And the women, they got up at dawn and they went to prepare the body of Jesus. And when they got to the tomb, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. Now, they may have thought that this was strange upon approaching the tomb. They thought this is kind of weird that the stone is rolled away, but they would have had to go inside. So they go inside and then they realize there's nothing here. There's no one here. And the scripture says that they were perplexed. They were perplexed. That word means they were filled with uncertainty. They were confused. They weren't quite sure what had just happened, and they didn't know what to think. And so they had just witnessed the death of their friend, the death of their teacher on Good Friday, and they watched as Jesus was put on the cross. They watched him die. They watched him be laid in the tomb. And so they were confused, right? We saw this. We saw it with our own eyes. We know what happened. We were all there. We saw this. We saw him put here. And so they were confused. Imagine if you were one of these women and you had entered into the tomb that day. You would be perplexed. You would say, what in the world has happened here? And so after seeing this and all that they had just experienced, they didn't really have time to even, digest that, because what happens? Two men in dazzling clothes just show up. So first they're perplexed, and then those feelings of confusion switched to feelings of fear. And, they're frightened. These people just showed up there in these dazzling clothes. And so they looked down, and one of the men poses this question: why do you look for the living among the dead? And then they don't give them any time to answer, right? And they go right on to the next statement. I can imagine, you ever, it's kind of a cartoon image, but like the ping pong ball kind of going back and forth. Like, why do you look for the living among the dead? And then immediately, he's not here, he is risen. They interject and say, he's not here, he has risen. And I can imagine that these women, they're listening so intently. And then maybe their feelings of fear now, they're confused again, Now their feelings of fear, now they're perplexed again. And then they say, remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee. And then the light bulb clicked on, right? Then they started to remember the things that Jesus had said. And as I was reading this, I was thinking, and for the life of me, I couldn't think of a specific example. But oftentimes, if we're watching a movie, they'll come about the end of the movie, and many shows, many movies do this. The main character, something will happen, and scenes will start to flash before them that start to make everything make sense, right? And they're like, oh, now it all makes sense. That moment when they kind of start coming back to them. I imagine as these men say this to the women there, that they start remembering all of the things, right? All of the things that happened while they lived among Jesus. For instance, all the meals that they had shared together and the conversations that they had over those meals. All of the lessons that he had taught them and the things that they had gleaned from those. All of the prophecy that he had spoken over them that they just did not quite understand at the time. It's just going before them like the slides that we would see in a movie, and they're just recounting all these things, and that light bulb clicks on, and they're like, oh my goodness, we understand. We know what has happened. And they just flash back to everything that brought them to this moment. And so the women, they began to remember the warnings he had shared, and it began to make sense, and it clicked in their brains, and they began to accept and understand their current reality, and the impossible suddenly became possible to them. So then, because of this, the impossible has now become possible. They leave and they go find the 11 and the other apostles there, and they wanted to share this revelation with them. They were excited. And Luke 24:9 says, they told all of this. Now, what is all of this, right? Well, maybe some people might think all of this is just them saying what they had just witnessed, right? But I don't think that's true. I don't think that's what they said. I think they went back and they said, hey, this is what we just experienced. But then I think they said, hey, remember that one time that Jesus said this? This is what it means. Remember that one time that Jesus did this? Hey, it came true. It happened today. And so they're sharing all these things and they're so excited because they've had this revelation and they've had this encounter and they just want everyone to know that Jesus is the Messiah and they want everyone to know that Jesus is who he said he was and all of the promises that he made, hey, they came true. And so while they're saying all of this to the men in their presence, that they didn't believe him. They didn't believe them, right? It says they thought it was like an idle tale. What's an idle tale? Basically, they thought it was absurd, right? They thought it was a bunch of nonsense. Everything they had to say was a bunch of nonsense. Well, we know that that's not true, right? And so these men, they didn't have the light bulb moment. They heard all the things that the women were saying, but they just couldn't quite believe it because they hadn't seen it for themselves, right? They couldn't believe it because they didn't see it. Kind of reminds me of the movie The Santa Claus. Anybody seen the movie The Santa Claus? Okay, in the movie The Santa Claus, you know, all of these things are happening, and Tim Allen basically says, hey, I don't believe it because I didn't see it. And the little elf, she says, you know, seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing. And so these women, they didn't have to see it to believe it. They saw what had happened and they recognized it because they began to believe it to be true. They began to recognize that Jesus was who he said he was and did what he said he was going to do. But the men, they just couldn't accept the impossible, the men that were there. And Peter, he got up and he went to the tomb and he looked inside and he saw it empty and the linen laying by itself and he went home amazed at what had happened. Well, if we were to go to Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, Jesus makes this statement, and it's in the context of salvation. He's talking about salvation, but he makes the statement, and he says, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And isn't that true? With God, all things are possible. Now, if we say that to people out in the community that have never experienced the work of God in their life, you know what? They think it's an idle tale. They think, that's absurd. That doesn't make any sense. How can you believe that? But we can believe it because we know it to be true. And because we believe it and we know it to be true, we have to share it excitedly, even when people will think that we are telling an idle tale. So the women here, they came from Galilee. They walked with Jesus. They saw him at work. In fact, many of the women that were witnesses to this were the supporters of the ministry of Jesus. They financially supported the ministry of Jesus. And so they were an active part in the work that he had been doing. They lived with him. They ate with him. They were a witness to his ministry. They were also witnesses to his death, witnesses to his burial. And even though Jesus had fully prepared them for what was going to happen, even though he warned them, they still could not imagine what was actually going to come to pass, right? They couldn't fathom the way that God would move. They just couldn't imagine it. But guess what? Jesus, he did something new. And he took the impossible and he made it possible. And they had to share that truth boldly. They had to go and share that truth boldly. And they must have known as they were saying it, this sounds crazy. What we're saying, we know, does not make sense, but we just know that it's true, and we know that it's real, and they knew that it happened, and they wanted to share it with people, because they wanted people to know that, you know what, with man, this isn't possible, but with God, all things are possible. So there's a song by a band called Elevation Worship. I'm sure many of you have heard a lot of the things that they sing. We hear a lot of those songs on the radio, and it's called Unstoppable God. And the chorus says, Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. With God, all things are possible. In his name, they shall be done. They will be done. God is unstoppable, and not even death could hold him, right? Not even death could hold Jesus because we have an unstoppable God. The old was gone and the new has come. Jesus was not there and the tomb was empty. And death was defeated and Jesus is risen. God is still doing a new thing. Jesus is still doing a new thing. I think sometimes we say, you know, you'll hear people say, you know, he was risen. No, he is risen. He is risen, and he is still doing a new thing. He is still at work, and he is still working at New Hope, right? He is still at work in Boardman. He's still doing a new thing in the world. He's doing a new thing in the community where you live. If you let him, he's doing a new thing in your home and in you. Right? God is still doing new things. He's still showing up and doing the impossible. He's going to give us revelations, right? So these women, they had a revelation. As I was researching, trying desperately to think of just one scenario where I could give you an illustration, it just kept coming up with movie character revelations. And so these women, they had this revelation of this aha moment. Jesus is risen. And he told us about it. And we know it's true because now we're recounting all the times that he told us about it. And we have got to share it because we're so excited. Guess what? That is true for us. God gives us revelations. He shows us throughout our life all of the times that Jesus was at work. I'm sure that many of us here that are believers could sit back and think about all the times that God was faithful, even when we didn't realize it. All of the times where God was active and we were not aware that he was active. We can recount those things. And guess what? It is our privilege to share those stories. We are compelled, like the women who came to the tomb and had a revelation that Jesus is risen, to take this hope that we have into a world that desperately, desperately needs it. We should be compelled to take these stories, these revelations that God has given us of his movement, and share it with people. And you know what? Sometimes they're going to say, that's an idle tale. I do not believe it. And that's okay. It doesn't mean we share it less, right? And it doesn't mean that we're less bold. And it doesn't mean that we should be silent. It just means that we keep telling, that we keep sharing, that we keep going to people and saying, guess what? He is risen. Jesus is who he said he was, and I know it to be true, and this is why. And share our stories. That is important. That is what we should be doing as the believer. This is how we share love and hope with the world. This is how we introduce Jesus to people, is through stories and through sharing our encounters with Christ. You know, we have to be sharing what God is doing through us and what God is doing for us. And, you know, like I said, some people, they're going to think it was an idle tale, and they might even say they can't take your word for it, and they have to see it for themselves. And you know what I would say? Challenge them. Okay, go see it for yourself. Go find out. And you know what? I want to join you on that journey. I want to join you on your journey of discovery. I don't need to prove it to you. The prevenient grace of God will go before you. The prevenient grace of God will go before you and prepare the hearts of those people. And you don't need to prove it. Yes, do we share our stories of hope? Absolutely. Do we share what Jesus is doing in the world? Absolutely. But then our job is to join people and say, hey, come along with me. No, you don't have to do all that I'm doing, but come along with me. God will move. God will move. We don't have to move God. We don't have to move God. We just have to be willing vessels and willing participants, ready to invite people along on the journey. God will move. And that is my prayer this morning, and I hope it's your prayer, that we would be people of hope, people that ask people to join us on the journey and say, hey, look what God has done. And when they think it's an idle tale, we say, that's okay. You can find out for yourself. God will show you. God, if you're out there searching and you're seeking, God is going to show up, and he is going to show you. You know what? We've got to share it even when people think it's nonsense. We have to share it even when people think it's nonsense. And it probably does sound crazy to some people, right? I bet it's hard to believe that we can have this kind of joy in the world that we live in. That's a rough place to live, right? It's a rough place to live. But we can have this unexplainable joy, this peace that passes understanding, and people want a part of that. People want a piece of that. They don't know it, but they want a piece of that, and they want a part of it, and we have the great privilege to share it with them. We live in a world where everything comes at a price. Right? Everything costs you something. Everything that we do or others do, there's a string attached to it. Hey, do this, but because of this, now you have to do this. Or I'm going to give you this if you do this for me. But Jesus is not like that. And that's difficult to understand. Jesus doesn't require anything of us but a willing heart and a willing spirit, right? That's all he asks of us. And we get this grace upon grace that was freely given. And that's difficult for a world to understand, this unconditional love. And we have the opportunity to share it because we have it. And so I'm going to challenge you to do that. You know, Jesus is ready to offer grace and offer forgiveness, and he is unstoppable. He is an unstoppable God, and with him all things are possible, and in his name possible things will be done. Not they can be done, they will be done. He will do impossible things, and he will do them by using you to do them. And so this is our great opportunity. This is our great joy as believers to be able to be vessels used by the living God. And so God is alive and active, right? He is alive and active. He is unstoppable, and he is risen. And so my challenge to you this week, my challenge to you, church, is to be a willing vessel. Be a person ready and willing to be used by an unstoppable God. I promise you, if you are a person ready and willing to be used by an unstoppable God, he is going to use you. And he is going to do impossible things, and you will be a witness of them. And when you are a witness of the impossible things that God has done, you will have this great opportunity, like the women at the tomb, to go out and say, he is risen. He has kept his promises. He is who he says that he is. And some people will think it's an idle tale, but some people won't. And there will be people that come along on the journey with you, and they will see it for themselves. And then guess what? When that happens, when they see it, then they're going to be the people at the tomb. And then there will be people after them and people after them. And it will be a ripple effect if we are faithful, if we are willing to be willing vessels, ready and willing to be used by God. We will multiply the kingdom of God and his power. And so I want to challenge you this morning. That's your job as a believer. Just be a willing vessel. And as a willing vessel, allow the unstoppable God to do impossible things through you. And when he does them, be ready to share them. Be ready to excitedly and boldly share them. So this morning, we are going to take communion together as one family. Isn't that a privilege? Friday night, we had a Seder service here, and we did a reenactment of the Last Supper. And what an awesome experience to sit at a Passover meal together as one body and to know what Jesus was doing and what he was saying and how he was preparing his disciples for what was to come. And then how he said, do this. Do this in remembrance of me. And so we have this great opportunity to remember this morning the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And we joyfully get to take the Lord's Supper in knowing that he did this for us. He did this as a sacrifice for us. So this morning, there's going to be a song that plays. We're going to do it kind of differently. There's going to be a song that plays, and then I'm going to ask that you would come forward, and we're going to take our communion this morning through intinction. So you're going to take your communion wafer, and you're going to dip it in your juice, and you're going to take it, and then go back to your seat. You can do this at your leisure as the song plays. And then we're going to read some scripture, and then we're going to sing a hymn together, and then we will close in prayer. So as the music plays this morning, you can pray, you can come up, take the elements, and then return to your seat, and then we're going to have some scripture and some prayer and some worship together in closing this morning. Matthew 26, verses 26 to 30. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you. We can feel your presence here this morning and we are so thankful for that. God, we ask this morning that you would just be with each person in this room and that you would begin to speak into each life and that you would begin to do big things and impossible things, that we would be vessels ready and willing to be used by you. God, I ask that you be with each person here and those that are not here this morning, that you would walk with them this week. In your name, amen.